This episode of Auto Dealer Live is brought to you by Flick Fusion.
Hey, what's up? This is Auto Dealer Live. I'm David Villa. It's 3:30 Eastern Standard Time right here in bright and sunny, hot, hotter than three fat devils, Tampa, Florida. Let me tell you something. It's so hot, you get out of your car and I want to take a nap by the time I get inside the air conditioner. But I'm here with Chris Fritcher, man. It's like the OGs of the OGs, Chris. It's me and you. And it hasn't been just me and you, man, on the show in a long time, brother. What's up, my man?
Nothing much, man. I'm excited to be here. Yeah, it's hot as heck outside, man. I mean, this morning, I didn't even cook my eggs in a frying pan. I just literally threw them on the sidewalk and scooped them off because that was all you need to do. That's how hot it is.
That's like, well, hey, speaking of hot, it's going to be hot here in just a moment. We got a panel of panels that is on the show today. We've got, Mr. One and Only, the Alpha Dog himself, Jim Ziegler, is going to be on today. And we got Tony D on today. We have Amelia Sapowski on today, and then Rebecca Chernick, and we're going to be discussing the box. We're going to be discussing F&I, all things F&I. It's been a while since we've had this topic on the show, and I'm very excited to bring these guests on here in just a few minutes. So, Chris, let me ask you a question, man. You spent quite a lot of time on the retail side of the auto business, and I know you actually spent some time in F&I as well. And what do you think about this topic in general? And it's not, you know, obviously it's not going to just be F&I. Straight F&I. It's going to be, you know, some trends, some things, good, bad, ugly. Should we abandon it? You know, what's coming down the pike? You know, what do you think, though, when you look at 2019, moving into 2020, what do you think about F&I and the state of the F&I department?
Well, you know, I love this topic because so many things have changed over the years, especially since I was in F&I. You know, for instance, you know, one of the things that changed is, you know, F&I departments used to be huge profit centers, and they still are. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you used to be able to hold rate and a lot of other things. And
right.
A lot of that, and especially in some of the newer stores, seems to have gone away from lenders. So I'm glad that we have all these experts on today to talk about it because I think it's a great topic.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know what? There's a lot of stores that, and I'm going to kind of bring this up as well. I know Rebecca Chernick, you know, had a great deal, a great hand in kind of bringing this topic into full force today. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, salespeople today, what part they should play, if any. I know there's a little trend going on where the salespeople are getting involved in this process up front. You know, a lot of people are talking digital. You know, I want to talk about, you know, some of the, you know, not too much about it, but I mean, where, you know, I know how Jim feels about this, and I'm sure he'll let us know, but I want to talk a little bit about Carvana and some of the, you know, some of the companies that are out there today, you know, and how this whole move into F&I online, you know, should a salesman get involved? And, you know, not sure they only get involved, but, you know, are there some one person maybe from soup to nuts does this? And, you know, there's just a lot going on. And I guess if it's working for a dealer, then maybe it's working for them. And it's hard to argue if something's working for them. But a lot of times you're here, especially some of these conferences and some of the things that are going on, you may hear different people say, hey, everyone should start doing this. And I think anytime you do that, it might be a little scary. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's a one-size-fits-all and then everybody should do that. You know, so, no. I'm, you know, again, I'm excited about, you know, hearing their opinions on that as well.
Well, you know, when I was in F&I, I mean, there was a time when if a salesperson even got involved in the conversation, they could possibly lose their job. That's how serious it was. Like, no salesperson was allowed to even talk about F&I right. numbers, whether it was interest rate or payments in some of the stores that I worked at. So I can't.
Well, you know, it's funny when you say something about that, though. You know, I can imagine why, because if you look at you trying to make money, I know John Morazzi is really big on this. John, you know, the owner of the dealer principal, Brandon Honda and Son Toyota, who is a regular on the show, you know, he's talked a lot about, you know, really use, you know, the profit source at F&I is even today. And, you know, and how we need to maintain that, you know. So if you get a salesperson involved, a lot of times, especially just any old average salesperson, a lot of times they care about just getting the deal. And so, you know, even with some of the transparent companies, I won't mention names out there because we like some of them, but some of the companies out there with leads, lead providers that, you know, that are so transparent online that they don't leave the dealer a lot of gross, no meat on the bone. You know, salespeople, sometimes push for those deals to hit their numbers, you know, many deals and what have you, that leaves the dealer, you know, with no gross. And, you know, I can imagine if that same salesperson got involved in the back end, you know, and I could see why they would have lost their job a long time ago. But today, you know, if they got involved, would that actually hurt the money, you know? Because look, gross isn't a bad word, even in 2019. You know, I'm kind of myself, or maybe I show my hand a little bit on the bias aspect of it, but you know, I'm kind of tired sometimes of people, you know, digging into gross or digging into profit. I mean, I think we should give somebody a fair deal. I think that we should, you know, give them, you know, our best deal, you know, whatever they consider the best deal. We should be ethical and honest and so forth. But gross is a great word. And you know what? Listen, you know, those companies that talk about Apple and those companies that talk about, you know, Walmart, and those companies that talk about these other companies that, you know, that don't negotiate and what have you. Well, at the same time, those companies are making a heck of a lot of money. Why don't you go ask the person who made that shirt in China for Walmart if they would like to get paid what Walmart charged for that shirt, you know, as opposed to what they got paid? You know, so, I mean, if we're going to really look at it and we're really going to cry foul on that, then we need to understand that plenty of money is being made just because negotiation might not be their strategy of sale.
Yeah. Well, you know, I find it interesting too that you're starting to see a lot of the manufacturers like pushing the dealers to actually do a lot of the heavy lifting online, and to the point that, you know, you got some of them actually wanting to push some people to actually buy the car online. So I'm glad.
And it's working for companies like Carvana to some degree. I mean, you know, listen, there's a market share. But here's the deal. I mean, I think at any given time, and I've said this a while, the dealer, I know we're talking specific F&I, but I mean, the OEM and the dealer, you know, the dealer could squash that at any time if they wanted to, if they can just get their act together and get the dealership, you know, with an online e-commerce process. But hey, really quick before we go to break and bring our panel on, because enough about us, right? Let's bring the experts on. And again, we have, if you just joined us, we have Tony D. Tony's going to be the director of the Academy, and he is a F&I extraordinaire. Tony is has been in this business a while. And we have Amelia Sapowski, and she has been a salesperson in the auto business. And every time she's been on this show, she's been in sales. Well, today is her first time on our show as finance manager of Starling Chevrolet. Matter of fact, what's really cool about that is we do business, and I didn't even know this, but looking at the name now, we do business with her general manager, George Magluta, and we work with him at Starling Chevrolet. So that's pretty cool. I didn't know that she was there. And then CEO and founder of Chernik Consulting, Rebecca Chernik. And then we have the one and only president of Internet Battle Plan, Ziegler Super Systems. He's a partner in our Auto Dealer University platform. The one and only Alpha Dog himself, Jim Ziegler, who is, I think, probably an expert in this. I don't know. I would consider him.
Yeah,
an expert.
I would definitely consider
just a little
him.
Bit.
You know, just a little bit.
Hey, let's
He's
talk
been around
about
for a little while.
A little while. Let's share the show. All right, let's tell you guys what you can win today. I'm going to hold this up. We got a long sleeve Auto Dealer Live T-shirt today. This is what you can win. Share the show, and your name's going to get dropped in a bowl here at the end. All you got to do is share it. You share it, and we're going to give this T-shirt away today. We're also going to give away a bite-sized book bundle today. These are three books. Listen, we sell these things all the time, and we can't even keep them in stock. We order them 500 at a time, and they're bite-sized books. And one's Grind, Get Ready, It's a New Day. The other is Branded, Leave a Mark. And the third is Motivated, From Inspiration to Influence. I'll sign these, and we'll get these out to you. That's going to be it's going to go to a lucky winner who shares the show and gets picked. And then the first book that I wrote, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Powell Books, Books a Million. It's also going to be signed and sent to you. It's Leader Be Lunch, The Power of Earning Influence. And this book is going to go to a lucky winner as well. There's only a handful of these left, the Leader Be Lunch here. You have to get it online there, but I'll sign this and get it to you. And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to do something really special today, okay? I didn't tell anybody about this. I'm going to give away a one-year individual subscription to Auto Dealer University today. So if you share the show, all right, this is it. We're going to draw these four gifts at first, and then we're going to give away a main prize. I'm going to give away a one-year subscription to Auto Dealer University. And if you're listening today and you're in F&I, then here's the good news. Jim Ziegler is all over that and is the F&I section of Auto Dealer University. So, and then, of course, there's over 1,200 videos from soup to nuts, all parts of the dealership, from variable to fixed ops. And we're going to give you a one-year subscription for free for sharing the show. You ready?
Yeah,
what do you think about
it.
That, man? That's stronger than new rope.
No. Stronger than an acre of garlic.
Stronger than Hercules with morning breath. That's true. All right. All right. So let, all right, man. So let's stronger than burnt cornbread. Hey, let's. All right. Oh, yeah. So, hey, thank you. Thank you, Lou. Hey, really quick, before we go to break, before we bring our guest on, you know, I have a question for you, Chris.
Yeah, what's up?
What do you think the average service department spends on video in their service drive a month? Video.
Oh, man, you know, I wouldn't have any idea.
$3,000 per month per rooftop. Let me ask you this. What about MPI? $1,500 per month per rooftop. What about tablets?
$1,000 a month?
$1,500 per month. Per rooftop. One more. What about online reservation systems?
I have no idea.
$1,000 per month. Listen, I don't know how quick you are with math, okay? I know you're pretty quick, but I don't know if you're this quick. That's $84,000 per rooftop annually, $7,000 per month per rooftop, and that is a lot of money.
Yeah, that is, especially when you consider that, you know, you're not get, you would think spending that much money, you get the job done, you know? But apparently you don't.
Wow, well, I had no idea. It seems like it would be a way to get this done, that type of investment.
Yeah, I mean, right. Well, there is. There's a way to get it done for a lot less. Ready? As a matter of fact, what if I were to tell you that you could substantially get it done less than that? You could get an immediate increase of 0.5 to an hour, get perfect survey scores, 85% customer retention, and have an effective labor rate that puts you within 92 to 95% of your door rate.
Well, how?
Jeff Collins Pro Talk, baby.
Woo.
Information's on the screen. Hey, we'll be right back. Share the show. We got a lot of goodies, including a one-year subscription for an individual to Auto Dealer University. We're giving away a bite-sized bundle of books. We're giving away Leader Be Lunch and a T-shirt. We'll be right back with Tony D, Amelia Sapowski, Rebecca Chernick, and Jim Ziegler, the Alpha Dog. 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
I often get asked about success stories. These are just a few of our most recent favorites.
Mr. Villa, Mike Young here, Thurston Auto Plaza, Ukiah, California. Hey, I'm calling just to let you know that 3 months following your training, I was able to achieve level 3 sales status, 45 units in 90 days. First time that I've achieved that in my career. Flying high, like you said, never the same, man. I cannot thank you enough. Your training seriously changed me, man.
David, I would like to go ahead and let you know, after 30 years in the car business, there's been very few people who have motivated me to want to go ahead and train more. And I would like to go ahead and say that I would personally come work for you and do and follow you into any sales process that was ever open or any opportunity. Thank you very much for bringing it. And I've been doing it for 30 years. And I really find what you do in front of a camera very motivating. Thank you.
Charles Fresca. He's been here 5 years. I've been here for 3 months. Charles Fresca has been 12 to 14 car guy. I set him down, and we've been doing some one-on-ones, and we went through Own the Phone. We went through Growth 101, and we went through the new car training. And Charles is not a new guy.
Mm-hmm.
Charles is an old guy that's skipping steps, putting back on the basics. Went through it. Last month, Charles did 22 cars.
Come on.
And we are back to Auto Dealer Live. Thank you for joining us. I just want to dive right into the topic today. We're talking about F&I, and we got Tony D on the phone. Tony D, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How's everybody at the ADL world?
Great, but hot. It is hot here.
I'm good because I bought the
It's hot and humid in Austin, Texas also.
I bet it is. So we're talking about today F&I departments. We're talking about, you know, the ever-evolving, you know, things are changing with, you know, a lot of people wanting to go online and purchase cars, and it looks like maybe some of the manufacturers also going in that direction. So I kind of wanted to open up the floor to you and let you kind of take the conversation where you'd like to get started as far as, you know, F&I and what you see it kind of evolving to today.
Well, there's been a couple of different directions, and the most common direction when it comes to online F&I is there is none. They're willing to sell the car, but they're not facilitating anything to do with F&I products. And I have been a strong advocate. When you start really breaking down the percentage of people who want to purchase the entire vehicle online, it's a very small percentage. Although, again, you said it earlier, the manufacturers and other some of the public companies are really pushing it. Customers today like to self-educate themselves. And we see fantastic results of dealerships putting informational content videos on their social media, their Instagram, their Facebook, and especially on their website, that when people want to purchase the vehicle and do the entire transaction online, allow the people to self-educate themselves about F&I products. And what we're finding is the people will buy them. There's no selling them. They're decided to buy the vehicle. We send them some links. They look at the videos. Hey, did you want to purchase any of the F&I products? And we're finding a surprising amount of people somewhere in the sub 20% penetration range when you look at the big store. But when you look at the overall, just the full online customer, there's a fair amount of them that are willing to purchase F&I products as long as they have the information and they're asked to do it. The other thing we're seeing some really great success is utilizing things like Zoom or GoToMeeting, where business managers are truly doing an online face-to-face, present a menu, kind of a standard F&I transaction, but they're doing it remotely. Again, customers are buying F&I products. When the dealership makes it very convenient, very easy, they'll buy the vehicle, they can make a little bit of money, they're paying a delivery charge, and they're buying F&I products. So
yeah,
it's just an evolution of what we need to do in the industry.
All right. Thank you very much, Tony. And we're going to hear plenty from you today, man. I'm looking forward to diving in fully into this conversation. And let's bring Rebecca in. Rebecca, you know, you were a big part of, bringing this conversation to fruition. And, you know, we had talked a little bit on Facebook. And, you know, I'm going to let you you heard what Tony said, and maybe just bring, your narrative into the conversation a little bit. And let's help kind of take this thing and unwind it a little bit for our audience.
Okay. Thanks again, David, for the invite on the show. I certainly appreciate it. And I really do respect Tony's feedback, opinion when it comes to, you know, offering or educating customers earlier on. We call that the pre-post opportunity to give customers, you know, an understanding of these products earlier on. And when we do so, you know, the customer doesn't necessarily have the stress factor when it comes to making that decision when they come into the dealership to purchase the vehicle. So enlightens the customer, gives customer some solid information and make a decision that's not best based off of pressure. And that's always a good thing. And then I also agree that, in fact, there are dealers who are now working with what you call a virtual F&I manager. And these are for, you know, our off-site deliveries and even for stores where, you know, they're like an F&I manager and a half, and we can't always get to that customer sooner rather than later. And we know that efficiency is so important in this whole piece. And I'm not saying to speed up to make errors, but I'm saying efficiency to help to maximize our opportunity and increase overall performance. And we know that, obviously, the customers that might have, they all doing a more of a virtual F&I experience, that now we're picking up even more performance, selling more products, utilizing that virtual F&I manager and being able to meet the customer on their terms. And, you know, one thing we'll say as well, if I, you know, remembering back 20 years ago when we were talking about meeting customers out of the salesperson's desk versus box closing and presenting this menu with the base payment, people were freaking out. And I remember those days like it was yesterday, and everyone would say, and all the naysayers said, this is not going to work. You can't be upfront and still be profitable. Well, guess what? We were. And we certainly changed the way that we did F&I. We got away, most of us did anyway, from the box closing. And so it's really engaging the customer way. And, you know, I'm like, you know, if customers want to purchase or have these options earlier on, you know, not by not having it, what happens? Does that mean that your customer goes to another competitor that well? So again, I think having these other options is always a good idea rather than not.
Okay, thank you very much. Jim, I'm going to let you weigh in on that as well. You've heard both comments. And, you know, what's your thoughts on, you know, the state of F&I, where it's going, where it's headed? And, you know, also, should a salesperson, you know, is it something that a salesperson should get involved in? You know, should they still get fired today for that? And what's your take on it, Jim?
Would they still get fired, or should they still get fired? I'm not sure. I've been in the business 43 years now, and I've seen a lot of evolution. I think online F&I is a major non-event so far, and it's a lot of vendors that are doing it have other motives, because it's not, you know, these products need to be sold, and there's a percentage of people that'll buy anything. You know, you mentioned Carvana earlier. Carvana is not profitable in any way. I mean, they're bleeding money out of every artery. I mean, they're not really a good example. You know, in a night at the opera, Groucho Marx once said that if we don't sell too many of these, we might break even. and that's basically what we're experiencing there. Mm-hmm. You know, so I still believe F&I needs to be a face-to-face, person-to-person thing. I think we could educate the customer to the products. But virtual F&I, I think that's a major fizzle that some vendors have an ulterior motive, and that's what they do. Profitability is what I'm all about, and a fair profitability. You don't have to lay the people away, but you still have to make a fair amount of profit. And profit, F&I profit, is the last profit center in the dealership that the vendors haven't absconded and stolen from us. Mm-hmm. And it's the one thing that has kept people from being able to totally sell a car online.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, one thing I want to add to that as well, maybe this, we always bring this into the mix, because, I mean, just simply because it's, you know, a lot of Americans have credit issues, and so there's complications. So, you know, it's not necessarily talking just subprime.
You know, couple years back when LendingTree and a couple of lenders got online, everybody was afraid, and eventually what they found out is every credit challenge, that's such a polite word, we used to have all these slang words, now they're credit challenged, equity impaired. You know, I'm getting more socially acceptable, but they found out that the only people really trying to finance online were the people with severe credit challenges, because they thought they could maybe trick the computer.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, people, there's a whole subculture of people that have poor credit, and they're clogging up the woodwork in some of these online vendors.
Yeah,
yeah, good point.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to go to Amelia, who's actually working in a store currently. Hi, Amelia, how are you? Welcome to Auto Dealer Life.
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Oh, we're glad to have you. You know, I want to get your perspective on this between online. You know, what does your store do, and how do you feel about, you know, some of the finance options being displayed online? You know, what's the process in your store, and what's your view on what we're kind of talking about here?
Well, I think I'm a little old school. I'm a millennial, but I was raised by baby boomers, right? Mm-hmm. So my dad's been a GM mechanic for like 30-something years. I have background in the automotive, but when I first started working in sales, I was really confused. Why are we putting online rate 2.9? Mm-hmm. So somebody with a 500 credit score is not going to get 2.9. And 2.9 is only going to be available with $7,800 down for X amount of months, correct? You know, mm-hmm. So just theoretically speaking, I feel like there's a lot of misinformation out there that doesn't really help people. It actually only hurts it. So sometimes getting in front of the customer and giving that human interaction that I am a person, I do have a heart, and then I'm just trying to help them understand better how they can put themselves in the best financial position and get some wheels under. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think sometimes a lot of this technology really, really hurts us, because we have to be 10 times more educated, I think, than we used to be. Because I say that I've been a year in automotive sales, but at the same time, I still remember purchasing vehicles and seeing, okay, I can get 2.9. Like, no, I can't. I'm a young kid with a 600 credit score.
Not only that, that's a really good point, but not only that, I mean, we're talking about credit challenge people, but even people with good credit, sometimes to get to their payment, you can't get that 5 or that
exactly.
You know, 3.9, because you got to extend it out to 84 months or 72 months. So you can't get that rate no matter how good your credit is. Well, so that's another good point.
Yeah, and let me go to Tony. This is getting really good, and it's kind of going into a great direction here, Tony. But let me ask you this, and again, you know, what Jim brought up, and you know, just some of the vendors and so forth that are out there. And, you know, I get that. It's trying to sell a product and, you know, obviously, you know, but a lot of times, you know, products are sold that enable a dealership, even on a marketing level. You know, I mean, I got to be honest with you, there's products out there. And even some of the things that we would sell in a marketing product that enable a dealership, you know, to maybe not have to be good at something, you know, you whether you have a BDC for, you know, for them in our product. And the reason we implemented a BDC initially in our product is so that they would work the leads, you know, so they would get the leads and sell the cars. So they wouldn't say, hey, well, we got 200 people that responded, but no one came in. Well, we didn't work the leads was not mentioned. So, I mean, Tony, let me ask you this. Are we enabling, you know, it has, you know, I hate to always go back to training, but I mean, is it one of these things where Amelia's got it right and she just happened to be taught right? And but a lot of people just don't have the skill set, or maybe they've not been taught the right way. Weigh in on that, Tony, from your perspective, you know, and what she kind of brought up.
Well, are you talking about from the sales department talking about F&I products, or yeah, putting it online?
I guess really F&I, and you know, because really what Amelia kind of commented on, I guess the question would have been. My question would have been, well, why do you think that people don't do what she's talking about doing, you know, getting in front of them, and why are they trying to change? Why are they trying to shift? Is it that there's less quality people out there? They're not trained properly. I mean, what's the drive? Is it vendor driven? You know, and I guess I'm just looking for maybe the reason that dealerships wouldn't, right, try to make a little more money and do it by getting in front of the customer like she's talking about, why that wouldn't be what they would try to improve, I guess, rather than just maybe buy a product.
It's more lack of effort. And I know it, and you know it, and Jim knows it, and Rebecca knows it. They're often in dealerships, there's a lack of effort when it comes to F&I. There's a tremendous amount of effort when it comes to selling the vehicle, getting a customer in, a new car, used car, a tremendous amount of effort. But then all of a sudden, what about F&I? The most profitable square footage. And really where a lot of the profitability in the dealerships are today, not all dealerships are focusing on it. We started working at the Academy. We started working with a large dealer group here very recently, and they just, like earlier this year, decided, you know what, we need to focus profitability on F&I. Mm-hmm. And they just haven't been focusing on it. It wasn't imperative. But where we do see dealerships that have focused on F&I for years, or it was an important part of their financial statement, they're willing to be flexible in how they present F&I products. There are some dealerships that do hybrid, where one person does the whole deal. I'm a big advocate of that, but that is extremely complicated, takes a tremendous amount of training, and a very, very dedicated team and dealership, general manager and dealer to get away with that. But we're seeing many dealers, again, trying to facilitate the sale of F&I products any which way the customer wants it to be. If they want to get some information online, so be it. If they want to buy the entire vehicle online and then have F&I reach out to them, either on the phone, FaceTime, GoToMeeting, use a Zoom meeting, which is my personal favorite. That thing works great. We could use Facebook Live, or not, yeah. We could do the Facebook FaceTime chat, yeah, video chat. We could do everything there. It has a lot to do with effort and where does that dealership want to put the additional effort? Again, tremendous effort getting people in and selling vehicles, but when it comes to F&I on the grand scale, just don't see the same level of effort being put in.
Okay.
So yeah. I want to kind of take this into a little bit direction here, and I want to go back to Amelia with this one just because she's actually in a store currently, and then maybe we can go to Rebecca. But how do you feel about your salespeople being involved in this process, especially with F&I?
To be honest, not well. Mm-hmm. I really think that there is so much that goes into it that it can, if you start to build value and get traction, it could be extinguished in a brief second by someone's possible, you know, not the knowledge of not how everything works. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like my F&I manager before I got here said to me, be very careful about how you phrase things, because it's like, all right, I've had three deals that have been presented to him where we tried to work numbers and do everything over the phone, and he put in all this time and effort and they didn't find value in protecting themselves in the long run, you know? Mm-hmm. So it could go good or it could go bad. But after he educated me on that, my clients were able to protect themselves in the long run after finishing up in the box, mm-hmm. which, you know, I think is awesome because I never want to have someone to come back to me and I say I can't help them because they didn't further protect themselves after their manufacturer's warranty runs out, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's something I never want to be able to do because most of my leads were warm, referrals, friends, family, and protecting them is the most important thing for me.
Let's go to Rebecca on that, and then we'll go to Jim. Rebecca, why don't you weigh in on what we talked about so far?
Okay, we're talking about whether or not we are educating, we're training salespeople on products,
yeah.
and whether or not salespeople can have that conversation with the customer about a product. Is that what? Is that
Yeah.
Yes. Anything you say?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yep. Yes. Sorry.
Okay, I just wanted to double check. Okay, thanks, guys. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, I think it's critical, and I do believe that we can do a better job in training our salespeople. You know, I hear that, what I hear is, no, we can't train salespeople, and I'm thinking, well, why did you hire someone if you can't train them?
Exactly.
Of course we can do a better job training our salespeople, and they should have a better understanding of what this product covers. They have to understand that, why do I present a service contract to a customer who is purchasing a Toyota? Don't you know Toyotas never break down? Having a better understanding of all the benefits behind the service contract is paramount. And then also, you know, maybe a tire and wheel policy and the understanding of why in the world is that product being presented to my customer. So that way we all have true buy-in. So if the customer has some questions with regard to the product, why shouldn't they be able to address and properly address the customer's questions? Now, you know, here's the thing that's interesting. Just the other day, well, a week or two ago, I actually interviewed Frank Renetti, who, as you probably know, he sells 100 cars a month. Now, mm-hmm. he's an icon. He's a game changer in the industry. We get that. Not everyone's doing 100 cars per month as a sales associate, that's for sure. One of the questions I asked him, I said, should the salesperson have the ability or should we be training salespeople on the product? And should the salesperson have some knowledge as it pertains to the products and what they do for the customer? And of course, I mean, that's how the dealership, their dealership, you know, certainly operates. And I think education is just
now
critical.
I think Frank, because, you know, Frank, let me ask you this, Rebecca, are you advocating though training or are you advocating like a salesperson, you know, maybe somebody that maybe does something from soup to nuts, handles the whole process, or what's your thoughts on that? Or you're kind of stopping short a little bit, it seems, maybe from endorsing that. What's your feelings on a salesperson getting totally involved? Because I know Frank, obviously.
Well, Frank doesn't necessarily want to do the whole deal. No, mm-hmm. he doesn't. He understands his part in the process, and he likes a team effort, synergized environment, mm-hmm. and I support that as well. Now, Tony said, you know, there are some dealerships, and there's high-line dealerships who have and work with a different type clientele where, again, it just makes sense to take the entire transaction from start to finish to a self-associate. And do I believe that it can be done? Absolutely, I do. And I do believe that it can streamline the process, and I do believe that we can maximize performance. It's not for every dealership at all, just as Tony said. And it requires a tremendous amount of training and know-how, inspect what you expect. And if you're not a dealership who is willing to go ahead and put the time and effort into it, I obviously would never recommend that. But I do see the benefit in, you know, a high-line dealership, that sort of thing, where you have that type of clientele. They don't want to go from this, that, or the other. And you know what? You can streamline the process, and you can still maximize profit that way. So probably,
we'll go to,
you know, not just the knowledge, the knowledge aspect of it, but you also have to have a lot of discipline as well.
Yeah,
it goes along with that.
What do you think, Jim?
Sure, you do.
Hello.
Hey, Jim. What's your thoughts on that?
Becky Chernick and I have been friends for years. You know, everything she just says is absolutely absurd. But you know, salespeople are emotionally involved in the deal. You know, if I have a whole sales force full of Crinettis, man, I'll train those guys. But I'm going to ask Amelia, I'm going to ask Tony Diaz, is it possible on an off day, just perchance, a salesperson might sabotage the F&I effort? Absolutely. Oh,
they never do that, Jim. Never, never.
Salespeople are emotionally, and the salespeople by nature will take the easiest perceived route to get a car delivered regardless of profitability. That's why we have managers who manage that part of the sale. And when I teach F&I managers how to interview the customer, the consumer credit counseling interview is the most important part of what I teach. Yeah. When I was doing the ultra high numbers in F&I that were the ultra high numbers of the day, it was all because it's about feelings. I interviewed the consumer. I educated them why the rates were that high. I mean, when you see some stupid ass thing online with 2.9 for everybody and they don't get it, they're sitting there with their 580 credit score, wonder why they're not getting that 2.9 that was online. And if they have an 800 credit score and they do get the 2.9, why wasn't it 4.9? And why didn't the dealer make a profit? There are vendors with other ulterior motives for pushing this process.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, one second here. I'm hearing what you're saying that I'm absurd and I'm not giving up.
Did I get you riled up, Becky?
You know what, Jim? I'm fine with that. I really am. But where I wasn't talking about the credit interview. What I was referring to was the product knowledge, that I do believe that a sales associate can be trained on product knowledge. And I think it's very
important. I don't want a salesperson in my business. I don't want a salesperson even mention my business. You know,
that's the difference between me and you, and you're right, I'm absurd. So that's all I wanted to mention was referring to a credit interview, Jim.
Yeah. So, you're not totally absurd, Becky, just what you just said.
I just wanted to clear that up.
Okay.
May I split the difference in here?
Well, yeah. I actually believe I actually agree with Rebecca, so I'm absurd too.
When we look at the sales force as a group, do I want all the salespeople with full knowledge of F&I products or even trying to set up or plant the seed for F&I products? No, not really. Because when we look at that, it creates more defenses and it actually continuously proves to drive F&I numbers down. Now, here's the flip side of it. And I'm literally talking to the 45 people watching live right now and the other probably 1,000 that will end up watching this. The people who are watching ADL, this is the elite. This is the top 1% of the industry that's watching. You know what? This group, that tenured salesperson who builds relationships with their customers, they can be tremendously helpful in selling F&I products. But this isn't for the masses. This is for that elite group, that top 10% in the dealership, probably the 1% here who's watching ADL. You know what? They can be a great benefit to F&I and selling F&I products. We've seen the right salespeople, sales consultant, team member who has a large referral base, has all those warm customers, like Amelia was talking about, that when they have the right education about the products and how they truly benefit the customer and the long-term ownership of a vehicle, you know, those customers will start relying on that salesperson to give me some advice.
Have any conversation about, you know, what the product covers? That's ridiculous.
No, not necessarily what the product covers, but more of, you know, based off of how long you plan on keeping this vehicle and the amount of miles you drive, I'd really suggest the service contract. When you have the right people doing it, it works very, very well, but in lies the problem. It's not for the masses. For everybody who
No, it's not for the masses, Tony. No, it's not for the masses. How many times have I been in an F&I delivery and started to present a service contract, and the customer said, look, I already told the other guy no. Don't you damn people listen to me? I mean, exactly.
Isn't there a difference between trying to sell it and setting it up?
Wait a minute. I'm not saying here that the salesperson is selling a product. What I am saying is that they have an understanding of the products. and the benefit that it brings to the customer. And I do believe it is part of our job to at least explain the benefit of the product to the salesperson all day long. I'm not saying you're selling the product, but you certainly should have an understanding of the product. You have an understanding of what that service contract does and the benefit it brings to the customer. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Yeah.
That to me is absurd. Absolutely absurd that you're saying we don't want to train our salespeople to understand the benefit of our products. What are you talking about? That makes absolutely no sense at all.
Amelia, let's get you in
on
this.
That is about as foolish as it gets.
Amelia,
sorry.
Amelia, we'll get you in on this as well. Amelia?
Just real quick, so I agree with both sides. I'm kind of like in the middle. So what I was trying to say, if it was misconstrued, I feel like it's a case-by-case scenario. And it's a salesperson-by-salesperson scenario, right? And I think it's really important that if a dealership, like I already talked about getting training to the floor about benefits and word tracks and all that stuff, but I really think it's a case-by-case scenario depending on the salesperson, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, but I mean, can you develop a process? Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because I think there are, and I think that's really where, like where Jim was saying maybe in the beginning, where if I had a room full of Franks, you know, then of course I'd train them. But I guess my question would be if it's a case-by-case basis, which makes sense because it is a case-by-case basis. A lot of those cases happen to work at different dealerships, you know, and they're spread out throughout the country. But I guess then it almost makes it difficult to train possibly, you know, a process if it's done that way. But I had a question too, like, you know, and this is just a question. I mean, and I'm the guy that could chalk this up to maybe an ignorant question. But Tony, I'll ask you this: with what we're talking about here, you know, why is there the need to not to educate? I mean, to have a knowledge of like the terminology, I guess, of the front and back of the deal completely, to know, you know, like, hey, so am I going to go in F&I next? Well, what's F&I? I mean, obviously to a degree of understanding the process, but really what's the benefit I'm asking to train them on things? Why not just do better job in the F&I? What's the benefit if you have those people that can do that? I mean, is there a benefit rather than having a stronger F&I department? I'm just trying to figure out, I guess, is it broken enough to do it that way?
Guys, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, but I got to go. But thank you for everything. And, Jim, it's always good to be around to see you. So I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you.
Thank you. Tony, do you have an opinion?
Bye-bye, Becky. Bye, Rebecca. So when you start looking at most traditional dealerships, even when F&I does a good job, like Jim brought up, most of the sales department would be detrimental to the F&I profitability. They just would. Mm-hmm. And that's in general, because entirely too often, Jim said it earlier, the salespeople are selling scared. They're so freaked out, they finally close the deal. They start telling the customer, don't buy anything, don't talk about it. And even if they start to plant seeds or talk about F&I products, what happens is, Jim said it exactly, the customer's defenses come up and they get twisted in the F&I office because they said, I just told the salesperson no.
Oh.
Now, completely new chapter of the book. When F&I determines the individual salespeople that can benefit F&I, maybe this is a future business manager that we can bring in into the F&I team. But there's certain individuals, whether they've been there for a long time, they have great rapport with the customers, they're relationship-building customers. We see it sometimes even out of the internet departments where there's 2 and 3 weeks worth of correspondence going on. When the customers show up, they're hugging each other with the sales consultant. You know, those would be good people to educate, a little deeper education about F&I products, and have the F&I manager say, hey, you know what? You talk to your customers about maybe road hazard and maybe windshield protection. I'll take care of the service contract when they get in here. You stay out of that one. You just talk to them about road hazard. Why don't you focus on the 20-inch wheels and the low-profile tires? And why don't you talk about all the technology going through the glass and tell them, hey, there's some solutions. So when you have a problem, they're taken care of. And my F&I manager, my business manager, Tony D, he can get you some more information. So it really falls into more of an individual type of information that we would and individually who I would want talking to customers about F&I products. And that, in my opinion, should only be determined by the F&I manager. Mm-hmm. But as the masses go, I totally agree with Jim. I really don't want my general sales staff talking about F&I products or even trying to sell them for F&I.
I think Tony and Amelia and I all agree on that. Mm-hmm. You know, and
thank God I'm not wrong. Okay.
No, of course you're not. No, I never said you were absurd.
Okay.
You know what? If I'm absurd, then that's all right, Jim. I like it.
All right.
Jim just texted me, said I'm absurd.
Tony, you and I have known each other too long. I mean, we both had hair when we met. Yes.
Well, Jim, let's go ahead and get your...
Bald is beautiful, all right? Let's get that straight.
There you go. Oh, okay. Golly. Thank you. Appreciate the endorsement.
You're welcome.
Well, I'll tell you, honest to goodness, F&I has evolved, but it hasn't evolved. I mean, there are so many vendors that have these ulterior motives, and their ulterior motive is to transfer the profit or to their side of the ledger. And excuse me, I mean, they always use the same thing. We're doing it for the customer. This isn't customer-driven. This is vendor-driven.
Hey, I got something. I'll tell you something that the sales department can do to help F&I is we've seen an increase, and although I just saw a report saying it's down a little bit, but we've seen a massive increase of customers going to their credit unions. And when a customer finance is in the dealership, it increases the likelihood of them buying additional F&I products, and we're seeing more and more credit unions get involved in F&I products. I know for years, and there might be some disagreement on this, is that a customer would say they're going to their credit union, the sales department would follow it up with, well, hey, if we could meet or beat your rate, would you be interested in going with us? Well, credit unions have cottoned on to that, and they have coached the customer so well on their pre-approval, don't talk to the dealership, don't talk to them, don't worry about it, they won't meet it, they won't beat it, that they're somewhat brainwashed by the mafia when they walk in from the credit union. So one of the things the sales department can really do to help F&I is when a customer says, hey, I'm going to my credit union, as opposed to saying anything about meet or beat, just collect the information. As in, oh, that's awesome, Dave. What credit union? Oh, you're going to that one? Great. What's the rate? What are the terms they're giving you? Great. I'll pass that information along so we can get the paperwork done and make it a non-issue. And when we have the sales department doing that, we have seen a dramatic increase in dealerships having the F&I person convert that customer in the business office. Hey, I understand you're going to this credit union. They got this rate. We have this rate. You want to save $1,000 on your loan? Yes, no, maybe. And it has changed the way the conversions are going. So from a sales department helping F&I, no more meet and greet or meet and greet. Oh, my goodness. No more meet or beat your rate. Just what credit union, what rates are they giving you? What terms are they giving you? Great, I'll pass it along so we can expedite your paperwork. Customers will give the information very quickly when it's just in conversation, and that increases the likelihood of a conversion, and again, better profitability for F&I. And again, the sales department is instrumental in doing that.
Thanks, Tony.
Nice.
We need to start wrapping this up, but
oh no.
I have to tell
you, just getting started.
My tongue's bleeding because I'm biting my tongue over here.
You don't have to bite your tongue, Chris.
I'm going to go to Amelia and get your closing comments.
Sorry.
So just really quick, touching on what we talked about, people crave human interaction, right? When you come into my office, you see pictures of my dad and I when I was a kid at classic car shows. My dad's been a GM tech for 30-something years, ASC certified. I understand how your vehicle works. I understand what goes into it, and I know how to work on that. You wouldn't know that if you didn't step into my office. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that builds value in what I have to speak to you about so I can help educate and better protect you. I'm here to help. I'm not selling anything. I'm consulting you on your needs and what I can do to make sure that you are 100,000% happy with this purchase, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never want to come back and say, hey, my AC condenser doesn't work anymore. Well, I'm sorry, you're out of manufacturer's warranty. I never want to say that. So I think it's really important for us as professionals to step up to the plate and give that human interaction to be able to build value in what we are able to help them with.
Nice. Thank you, Amelia. Let's go to let's give Tony D some closing remarks here, and then we'll go to the Alpha Dog.
Hey, I am all about F&I, whether it's traditional F&I, we have hybrid F&I. They all need to work together. In fact, Becky did an article recently talking about you know, how symmetry between the sales and the F&I department are so instrumental in today's marketplace. But anybody can reach out to me. You can find me on Facebook at Tony D, D-E-E. You can find the Academy at The Academy ATX on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or you can just find us at theacademylive.com. F&I is our game. That's what we do. We help produce great results. Working all around the country, and certainly appreciate the time with Dave. And actually, I saw the other Dave a couple of days ago at Women in Automotive. So yeah. Surprised he's not on the show. But I slapped him upside the head for you, Jim.
Hey,
but he appreciate the time and always enjoy visiting with you guys on ADL.
Thank you. Yeah, he had to miss the show. He had something going on, but he definitely was kicking himself when he found out what he missed. So, but he'll be back next week. Let's go to Jim Ziegler. Jim, the Alpha Dog, give us your closing remarks, sir.
Auto Dealer University. If you're really interested in seeing an in-depth analysis of F&I, I've got 60, 70, 80 hours of my personal training on that platform. And my entire F&I school was on that platform. And WordTrax, what it's all about, what you say to the consumer. I train F&I people all the time, and I say, well, tell me why someone would buy a service contract. And they said, well, peace of mind. And did I already say peace of mind? Yeah, you did. You know, I mean, you gotta know your product inside and out. You got to know what to say to the people. And that's not being taught today. Mm. What to say to the consumer, all these little robotic memorized. It's not memorization. It's conversation. And you got to see the people as people and talk to them as people and understand conversational closes. That's me.
All right, guys, thank you so much. And I want to thank Rebecca Chernick. I know she had to drop off, and she was someone that reached out and wanted to kind of talk about this. And so Rebecca, CEO and founder at Chernick Consulting, and Amelia Sapowski, finance manager at Starling Chevrolet, and, of course, Tony D, director of the Academy, and then Jim Ziegler, the Alpha Dog, everywhere. He's all over. He's the man, the myth, the legend. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
Been a great panel, and look forward to doing it again. Have a great weekend. All right, so great, great conversation. Hey, Chris, so don't bite your tongue, man. I mean, to take a couple of minutes. We're going to be giving away here in just a second. What are we going to do, Chris?
We're going to give away some stuff.
We're going to do what?
We're going to give away some stuff.
We're going to. Oh, you're not going to sing it today, I guess, huh?
Oh.
Give it away now. Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Hey, so we're going to give away some stuff in a minute. But right before we do, bite thou's tongue no longer, sir. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I just, I mean, we're kind of talking out both sides of our mouth here when we talk about we don't want our salespeople trained on product. We don't want to train on product and even planting the seed, but yet we want them to get all this information about the credit union and get them involved in the conversation. To me, it just is just asinine. Either you want them involved or you don't want them involved. Yeah. But for me, in the stores that I've always worked at, pay plans, as far as the sales, well, I shouldn't say every store, but the stores that ran smooth, finance was a big part of the salesperson's pay plan, and sometimes it was almost as much as 35% of their pay plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were taught to, as a salesperson, to just plant the seeds, not sell the product, but just plant the seeds. Like when you're doing the walkthrough, when you're doing the walk around and you open up the hood, you just kind of talk about the engine a little bit and go, oh, by the way, you know, this is the warranty. If you want to extend out that warranty, you know, right, it would cover it for X amount of time, but you know, they'll talk to you about that later. And you just keep going on. You don't like getting a real in-depth. You just start planting the seeds. That's it.
Okay. I think that, I'll give my two cents in on here. And I know neither one of us are defending, you know, and even though it seems like it could because of the sides and those that had different opinions or what have you. But I think that whether it's right, wrong, indifferent, it's an opinion. I think what was being discussed is, and it was so passionate on both sides, is because, you know, with planting a seed, I think that nobody, including Jim or anybody, would have an issue with maybe seeds being planted. I think that the problem is when you open up the can of worms, you know, I think that, you know, you have to open up the can of worms sometimes to everyone. And I think that possibly it could be the worry is if I did that and then it's messing with something that possibly will be done in an incompetent way or even a damaging way. And I think that that's really I think that that's where, in my opinion, where it's coming from. It's not, there's a movement going on where maybe from, a salesperson should get involved and do everything. And there's just a lot of that. And it's a very sensitive issue with a lot of,
I started my automotive career working at AutoNation used car megastores, and most people don't even know what those are anymore.
I'm sorry about that.
But we were the one.
I don't think they're around anymore.
They're not. Yeah, they're not. They're not. But my point to that is, hold on. My point to that is, we were either one of two mm-hmm. profitable stores in the entire country. Out of their 50 some odd stores that they had, mm-hmm. we were the only one of two that were ever profitable. From right. the beginning. Right. And one of the reasons is because we really did a great job of training our salespeople, setting up F&I, and we made a lot of money in F&I. And it's because the salespeople had planted the seeds. They didn't sell the products, but they planted the seeds.
Yeah.
And then F&I would go out there and do their menu and sell product.
There you go. Speaking of seeds, we got a bowl of seeds. A bowl of seeds. We're going to give away some stuff here. Chris, I'm going to throw over to you. So let's give away.
All right, we'll see if I can catch it today.
All right, so let's give away the bite-sized book series first. You're the winner. If your name gets drawn here, you're going to get motivated from inspiration, influence, branded, leave a mark, and grind. Get ready. It's a new day.
And what are you going to do with those books?
I'm going to sign them.
That's right.
And I'm going to send them to you, all three of these books. Let me tell you something. These are invaluable, in my opinion, because you're going to get some information that's going to make you some money and help your life. So the winner of all three of these bite-sized book series.
I'm warming up my hands over here.
All right. Boom.
I caught it. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Oh, wait a minute. We got, uh-oh.
So, I'm holding the book. The winner. That's a good shot right here.
Uh-oh. We got a party foul.
What is it?
You gave me two.
Oh, crap. Right, I'll give two sets away.
Okay.
There you go. So, it's my bad. My bad. So, I'm giving both of these people are going to win these books. Go ahead.
So, wait a minute. Mike Phillips is both of them. How did that happen?
Well, then Mike Phillips only gets one set.
He only gets one set, bro.
Mike Phillips is in there twice. All right. Hey, maybe they were stuck together. I don't know. Here you go.
That's crazy.
Mike Phillips is the winner of the bite-sized books. All right, now let's give away. Let's give away the Leader Be
give
Lunch.
Give it away now.
We're going to give away the Leader Be Lunch book. Ready?
Yep. Hands are warm. Let's go.
Boom, baby. Going to give away this book right here. It's available on Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and Powell Books if you want it. But if you want it signed, you got to win it right here because they won't sign it for
Douglas
you. Man, that guy wins a lot.
Chitrin? How do you say his last
Douglas,
name?
Douglas, it's not Chitlin.
I said Chitrin.
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 You said Chitlin.
No, I didn't. I said Chitrin.
You said Chitlin.
I did not. There's no L in it.
All right. Douglas.
I did not say an L.
Douglas Chitrin wins that. All right, now let's give away this right here. Shirt. We're going to give away the long sleeve Auto Dealer Live shirt. And then the last prize, you want to hang on in a second because we're going to give away a 1-year membership to an individual for Auto Dealer University. But this one is the shirt. Long sleeve shirt. Ready? All right. Here we go.
Just for clarification, I saw someone make a comment that AutoNation still exists.
AutoNation still exists.
Yeah, we were talking about the used car megastores.
Megastores that do not exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones that they started them with.
Okay, and the winner of the
Dealer Live shirt that I'm
Auto Dealer Live, Amanda Bales.
Amanda Bales, you win the shirt. Coming your way, Amanda. Congratulations. All right, now here's the main prize. This, by the way, the minimum, this is a minimum if you paid up front, a $1,200 value, and if you paid monthly, it's $199 a month, and we have an individual. So that's here we go. You ready?
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right, this is to 1-year individual, not dealership, subscription. To Auto Dealer University, 1,250 videos, 29 trainers, sales, BDC, internet.
What kind of value is it?
It's if you paid it up front, it's $1,200. If it's paid monthly, it's $199, which that comes out to like $1,600 or $1,800, something like that. Boom, man.
But the value is more.
The value is invaluable, man. It's training. And we're talking F&I. If you're watching, then Jim Ziegler has all of his F&I videos on there. Matter of fact, we've just recently recorded a bunch and added some as recent as last week. We had 15 to 20 videos a week. Who wins it?
Sandra Delio.
Sandra Delio. Is that Sandra Delio Benstock?
I have no idea.
Sandra Delio Benstock. I think that's Sandra. All right, Sandra, you win. Congratulations. All right.
Congratulations.
Chris, man, thank you so much. And if you want to check out Auto Dealer University and you didn't win, you most certainly can check it out. If your dealership wants to, you just go to autodealeruniversity.com, autodealeruniversity.net, .com. We have .com too, I think. And it's autodealeruniversity.net. We just bought .com. And all right, all right, all right. All right, guys, you ready? Let's do this thing.